3, 2, 1. Technorama episode 493, Secret Subspace Messages.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I'm detecting tachyon particles coming from this general area.
Over there, in the media corner.
Run!
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama, the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us, listening and or watching and or chatting and or whatever you're doing. If you're with us, thank you. If you are returning, welcome back. We are surprised once again.
We're surprised.
We appreciate giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi, and joining me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
Wait, a returning listener? That never happens.
Well, apparently we get one or two. Also joining us here in the Binary Studios in sunny but dark Phoenix, Arizona is...
This is Jack Mangan, and I am returning, and I am surprised.
He's missing from the camera. What happened?
Oh. Yeah, where's he at? Here I am. Oh, here I am.
The hotkey didn't work?
I can go on that camera, too.
Oh, video engineering is not what it used to be.
Wow.
I am very appreciative of my wife for handling that.
Yes.
That's kind of what Technorama is. It's a few loose screws and some duct tape holding this thing together most of the time. We just have newer, fancier duct tape in this house. Finger was on the wrong key. That sounds like...
Yeah, that's a punchline. I don't know the joke, but it's a punchline.
We have letters!
Yay!
Letters.
Oh, we got letters.
Letters.
Characters.
Letters.
Characters.
UTF-8 characters.
ASCII. I'll go for a CHR-34. Alphanumeric.
Escape! /27, whatever you want to do. We do not have any voicemail this week, but we do have Facebook messages. And I apologize because some of these have been... I just did not see them on the Facebook page. Andy's isn't too bad. Andy was talking about... We were talking about Slack and saying, what is the advantage of Slack? Thank you for reformatting that font so I can read it now, Craig.
Oh, wow. That's what I'm here for.
Because Slack, to me, felt like a glorified channel and he's a glorified chat room. And he says, the advantage of Slack is the sharing. Files and chats are fully searchable for everyone with the appropriate permissions. You have to be invited and that kind of thing.
Of course.
To go back later on. Whereas IM was only available to those people in the chat at the time. So it's a chat with a history.
Yeah, I get it. I get that. I mean, I see the advantage of it. I'm just saying. It just seems like another chat client. I mean, with even Messenger on iOS.
You
can click on the information and there's all the attachments too.
Right. Okay. If you're doing text messages through Messenger, we'll do that. But do you search your Slack stuff frequently at all? I don't know.
I don't think I've been a part of a Slack group that had enough stuff to search through. Or
you get called in for a meeting and then it's done? One of those?
I've never... Well, nobody except for the side project that I've been kind of included with that you've been working on at ServiceNow. That's the only real project I've been with on Slack. That has, related to Slack, I should say.
Do you use Slack, Jack? I had to say it.
In the back. I am a slacker, which, hilarious, workplace humor. We're all slackers.
Right.
But yeah, we use, I'm fairly new to it. And I do appreciate it for what it is, but I kind of have the same feeling as Craig that it's another just kind of messenger tool. But of course, I can't compare it to the other ones designed for the workplace like Yammer. And I know there were a couple that preceded it. And I don't know if something else will come along and replace Slack, but yeah, I don't have strong feelings about it, but it, you know, it gets the job done. We do our, at our workplace, I don't know about you guys, there is the grow bot that throws out random GIFs, and it's just so, they're rarely funny, and it's just so strange, just in the middle of a conversation, just grow bot chimes in and just has this.
It just throws up some random GIFy thing?
Right. I mean, it will... It will kind of base it on things that have happened. So it's somewhat, it's not just kind of completely random, but you know, if someone says, hey, good job, it'll say kudos, or someone says like, oh no, something happened. Yeah. And then it has a picture of like somebody frowning.
Yeah. You start getting the thumbs up gifts.
Right.
You know,
our other message.
I think Jack actually put the nail on the head. How I feel about it. I don't have strong feelings for it. That's exactly what I've been trying to say.
What sort of grew up as a grassroots thing? I mean, we already have an in-platform thing in our tool at ServiceNow. We also have people still hanging on to Adium. We have people chatting through Skype. It kind of depends on what department you're interacting with. And now, you know, to have four or five of them is just annoying at this point.
Well, you know, and what's funny is we, like you said, we have four or five of them, and what do we usually get? Hey, can you read this and see what you think? And it's an email with an attachment.
Like, did you get my email I just sent you? Yeah. When are you available for a quick meeting? Too. Why don't you look at my calendar?
Is that too? Yep. Yeah.
We have a message from Mark Blackburn on DS9. This was the one that was kind of hiding around in the archives since August. I apologize, Mark. He's out there. He says, listen to the last episode, which is probably about 470-something.
Right.
And I was intrigued by your discussion of Deep Space Nine. He's been a fan of Star Trek universe since the late 70s when he started watching reruns of TOS. He says, my two bits about DS9, I think it was the most consistently well-written series from the very beginning. I recently rewatched the entire series. From the beginning, it had rich characters, compelling stories, and great dialogue. I know that DS9 is a lightning rod among fans, but I think it is the best of all of the follow-on series. Just my two bits for the week. I liked it. Just a quick note about Mark. Mark does the America at War podcast, if you want to go listen to that. It's very informative. Okay. He is a National Park Service ranger and does a great job with... He's going through the Revolutionary War era. So he's talking about, and I'll admit, I'm way behind. I'm like back on the July episodes, but it's not a whole lot to catch up on. It's not real long, long stuff to listen to, but he tells a good story and he gives the facts the way it is. So go listen to the America at War podcast. There's a free...
I'll check that out.
Ding. Yeah. Where's the desk bell? There.
There you go. Yeah. Cool.
Did he cover the Dominion at War though? That's what I'm really curious about.
Jack, do you have feelings about the Dominion War? You're talking about on his podcast. Well, that wasn't America at War. That was Federation at War. That's going to be his next podcast.
Right. So what are your feelings on DS9, Jack?
You know, I'm always a TOS man, and I know that immediately puts me on the outside with most Star Trek like hardcore fans. But I think DS9, I would actually agree. And actually, kudos to Mark Blackburn for such an articulate post of, you know, summing up his feelings about it. But I would agree. I think DS9 was probably the best of the follow-up shows. I could go on, but I won't here.
I think TNG, it took a while to get its leg. I mean, it took a while to get its legs under it because I guess it was trying to, I guess, find its direction, and which I think it ultimately did. And then they just fed into DS9. So I think that gave DS9 a good platform to start from and worked out.
I'm passing out the D20. Craig, get your D20 ready. It's the history time. We have more than just me and you, so we're going to see who rolls for first, second, and third.
Speaking of history.
Getting where I hate cables. Oh, my gosh. I'm trying to
11.
Nine. It is nine.
Come on, Slowpoke.
Wait a minute.
Come on, Slowpoke.
I got a crisis here. Where are my dice?
Just go to like roll 20 or something.
Where's my dice?
What kind of a geek are you?
You are now last. you just died a critical death.
Maybe we should stop the show because I can't find my dice.
it possible to roll a zero on a d20?
Yeah. Oh, I guess I just did it.
You just, okay. In lieu of in keeping the viewers and listeners interested, we're going to do the history thing now.
I'm confused. Where's my dice?
On this day in history for December 14th, 2016, this is the 348th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 17 days remaining in 2016. It was on this date in 1542 that Princess Mary Stuart becomes Mary Queen of Scots.
234 years ago today, the Montgolfier brothers' first balloon lifts off on his first test flight.
I thought Craig was going to get that for sure.
Dodged a bullet there. And it was 116 years ago today that Max Planck. Okay. Presents a theoretical derivation. Okay. Of the black body radiation law.
Wait, there's more, listener. Also today, in 1902, the Commercial Pacific Cable Company lays the first Pacific Telegraph cable from San Francisco to Honolulu.
And staying consistent with the air travel, it was on this date in 1903 that the Wright brothers make their first attempt to fly with the Wright Flyer at Kitty Hawk, North Carolina.
I like that, the first attempt.
Yeah. Also on this date, in December 14th, 1911, Ronald Amundsen's team, comprising him of himself, Olav Bodland, and Helmer Hansen. What the heck are you putting this crap in here for? Veer Hassel and Oscar Westing becomes the first to reach the South Pole.
We'll excuse you on that one.
Westing, there you go.
It'd be Visting?
Visting, it was Visting.
Whatever.
It was 76 years ago today that plutonium, specifically Pewter 38, explosive space modulator, is first isolated at Berkeley, California.
58 years ago today, the third Soviet Antarctic expedition becomes the first to reach the southern pole of inaccessibility.
Where is that? And what's the glory in being the third expedition?
Yeah. There's no such thing. They just made that up.
Yeah. Hey, it's kind of funny that we've got a couple of different at the poles, you know, different stories in there. Also, December 14th, 1962, NASA's Mariner 2 becomes the first spacecraft to fly by Venus.
He almost made it. Almost made it through the whole thing. Also today, in 1972, Eugene Cernan is the last person to walk on the moon after he and Harrison Schmitt complete the third and final extravehicular activity, or EVA, on the Apollo 17 mission.
It's incredible how long ago. That same date, in 1988, the ET3 Greek television network is launched in Greece. Thessaloniki. I apologize.
Is it the ET3? Falling home.
I apologize to the Greeks.
22 years ago today, construction begins on the Three Gorges Dam in the Yangtze River.
Happy birthday goes out on this day to Danish astronomer. That's just begging for trouble, isn't it? Astronomer and chemist Tycho Brahe, born on this date in 1546. Got away with that one.
Pierre Puvis de Chavannes, French painter and illustrator, was born on that same date in 1824.
He nailed two French names in one show.
I don't know if he got it right, but it sure did sound convincing.
Boy.
Also, George VI of the United Kingdom was born on the same date in 1895.
American geneticist and academic Nobel Prize laureate Edward Lowry Tatum was born 107 years ago today.
All right, let me see if I can do this name. American singer, actor, and band leader Spike Jones, born on this date in 1911.
And also born on December 14th, 1916, American author Shirley Jackson.
Nikolai Basov, Russian physicist and academic Nobel Prize laureate, was born on this date, same date, in 1922.
Patty Duke of the Patty Duke Show, the American actress, was born 70 years ago today.
And Canadian anthropologist, author, photographer Wade Davis was born on this date in 1953.
Also born that same date in 1954, Canadian physicist and astronaut Steve McLean. Not Steve McQueen.
Or, I was going to say, wait a minute.
Shirley MacLaine.
Or John MacLaine.
Right.
John MacLaine. Yippee-yay, cowboy. Listener birthdays for December 14th through 20th include Michael Spence on the 14th from the Brothers Osric Scriptorium. Our good longtime listener and postcard buddy Jorga Schrauen was born on the 17th. Happy birthday to Phil Burchill.
Happy birthday.
42 last year. On December 20th, you can guess how old he is now. And he says, 10 years of listening to Technorama. Oh,
my gosh.
Let's make it 11 now.
Why don't he find another career?
Another career? He's made a career out of Technorama. Oh, I hear the band starting to wind up. If it's your birthday and you want to get on the birthday calendar, oh, they got one more verse to go through here. Visit our wiki at chuckchat.com/wiki, and you can be on our calendar. We'll give you a shout out at the appropriate time of year. That's the way it was on this day in history for December 14th, 2016. Is this the end yet? No.
Shoo them away. Shoo them away.
Yeah, here we go. Bye. Oh, okay. As soon as the trumpet hits the high notes, we know we're about done.
They're ignoring you by playing our...
All right, we're going already. Ba, 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 ba.
It stinks.
Where's the good startling news, everyone? There it is.
Good startling news, everyone.
He really dragged that news out, didn't he? News, everyone.
Yeah, some got stuck.
We have the story that many of you have probably seen on the interwebs this past week. The first feathered dinosaur tail found preserved in amber. This is like right out of Jurassic Park. And it's feathered, no less. This is the coolest part. How come we didn't find this? Maybe we didn't recognize one if we found it 50 years ago. Because the whole feathered dinosaur thing really wasn't that big of a deal until maybe the last 25, 30 years.
Well, I don't think I've ever heard. I don't think I heard about it until the last 5 to 8 years.
Right.
Really? Oh, you got to watch more nature shows, man. Robert Bakker has been talking about the relationship between birds and dinosaurs for decades.
I know. Well, I've heard, you know, of course, they're related to one another. There's a lot of.
Right.
But I never, until the, I'm talking about the feathered part.
Well, yeah, because when we were growing up, Archaeopteryx was sort of the proto bird from dinosaur, that classical bird fossil that everybody saw, you know, with the neck craned backward and it had, that was what we thought. There was some sort of missing link, but nope, turns out they had feathers all along. What we're showing you on the screen is a shot of a 99-million-year-old. Now, 99 million, that's a lot of years before the dinosaurs went extinct. So this wasn't just happening at the end of their reign. A feathered dinosaur tail that was found preserved in amber in Myanmar, formerly Burma. The piece was actually found by paleontologists at a market after the piece had already been shaped and become a pendant. That's a
nice
piece of jewelry. Well, it was nice of them to clean it up for you. Hope they didn't damage it in some way.
I like my pendants to have an insect in the middle of it, too. Is that like a little ant?
They were probably after the ant and went, well, let's get this dog tail out of there. The semi-translucent mid-Cretaceous amber sample, roughly the size and shape of a dried apricot, captures one of the earliest moments of differentiation between the feathers of birds of flight and the feathers of dinosaurs. Inside the lump of resin is a 1.4-inch appendage covered with delicate feathers described as chestnut brown with a pale or white underside. Can you imagine that poor dinosaur? Ow! CT scans and microscopic analysis of the sample revealed 8 vertebrae from the middle or end of a long, thin tail that may have been originally made up of more than 25 vertebrae. Based on the structure of the tail, researchers believe it belongs to a juvenile, oh, here's my turn, Coelurosaur. Okay. Coelurosaur. It ends with sore, and I'll bet he was sore when his tail popped off. Part of the group of theropod dinosaurs that includes everything from Tyrannosaurus to modern birds. We have lost Craig. Apparently it says no internet connection. Yeah, we are apparently offline.
Are we still recording? Or
we are recording to hard drive as a backup plan. That's not going to help the Facebook people too much.
Right. Don't panic. Well, actually, your phone, right, the phone should be connected.
Still going. We're back. Yeah, and Skype is trying to connect. I got my Wi-Fi back. Well, this is interesting.
Yeah. I heard that dreaded Skype hang-up noise.
Thought maybe it was just one of those weird things. We'll do this just for effect.
Oh, so glad that Craig is gone. Oh, no.
He's still
Skype frozen.
Is still trying to connect. And Google is not home. All righty. Well. Yeah, and Craig says, answer your Skype. Well, now Skype is back. There we go. Is it back on Facebook?
Hello. Did you lose your internet?
Yeah, apparently everything all dropped out. We're not sure what's going to happen to the Facebook feed.
Yeah, so it wasn't me. Okay.
Paul Thomas says, oh, man, just when it was getting interesting.
Wow.
This show gets interesting, apparently, for somebody.
Yeah, the internet broke.
Is the streaming thing still spinning? Yeah. We are recording this to a hard drive, so we will have this on YouTube.
I see the picture is still rotating.
Yeah, you're still frozen on our screen.
Oh, yeah, we got to get the Hangout back up and running.
All right, let me go open that up.
I think you should...
Full screen help feedback. Okay, once the Hangout's gone, I got to open the screen again. I think Facebook killed us.
Oh.
I think it ended.
Just keep going. Let's just keep it going.
Yeah.
It published. Facebook published.
You should keep this audio, actually.
We're going to keep this interstitial the dialogue. Okay.
Well, we don't need Hangouts. I'm not going to worry about Hangouts then.
Well, we do need the video for the YouTube video.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. Okay.
What? Here? Okay, so go to Output Settings.
Yeah, I wonder if that ant was...
We're going to get two YouTube videos this week for the price of one. It was that ant in the amber. He screwed up the DNA of the internet.
No, actually, I was just looking at the ant. I was thinking... I wonder how that one differs from anything that we happen to know nowadays.
My laptop just probably much keeps bigger. Saying there's no internet connection. What? Mossy Public. Yeah, it's like my Wi-Fi just dropped off the face of the earth. Okay, here we go. Mute. No camera.
You still there, Craig? We lost your image again, Craig. Are you there?
Yeah, he's here. I'm bringing this. Craig. Speak
up. I'm waiting for you to bring it up. Come on, bring it up.
Jack's asking if you're alive. He's getting panicky.
Right.
Yeah, I'm here.
I was worried, Craig.
Okay, I'm all right.
Hey, look, I just discovered something new about Hangouts. All right, we got to get him centered on the screen. I don't know where the heck he is. Woo! He likes doing that, so I just use the sign behind him because it doesn't move.
Here, can you see me all right?
Can you see me now? Can you see me
now? Yeah.
Can you see me now? Yes, we see you just wonderfully.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, are we going to stream back to YouTube? Is it streaming on YouTube? I mean, Facebook? Yeah. All right, then. I'll share it, too. You shared it. I'll share it. Okay. Apologies about that, everyone. That was fun, but not very interesting for anyone. Let's see. Donna shared it. I think on my phone, it only allows me to share as Technorama, and sharing it as yourself isn't really sharing. So let me jump over here real fast. Facebook. Redo. Where's the new stream? There's the old stream. Donna shared Technorama's podcast. Okay. That's a nice still image. They always take the first thing you get. It's got Jack looking like that, kind of up and off, and I'm looking to the left, and you get my left ear in the picture, and Craig is YouTube trying to start up. That's okay.
Right.
Share. Now, join us for part two.
That's actually kind of what I put on there, yeah.
And let's get Craig's picture back on the screen. We're good to go.
All right,
okay, welcome back. This will be fun for editing if we edit it at all. Okay.
Yeah, the internet went out. We almost rioted. You know, it was close.
For
almost.
Whatever reason, yeah. Hey, we haven't had a real Jack. Big internet outage in a long, long time.
Jack, the night's still young.
That's true.
Meanwhile, in the Hall of Justice, are we pretty much done with the dinosaur thing? Let's go on.
No, I want to know about the ant story.
The ant story?
Yeah, look at that thing.
But there's an ant there's in an the ant. Amber as well.
There is an ant.
That's correct. Yeah, I just wonder, I was curious if that ant, being as old as it could be with the rest of the stuff in the amber,
yes.
How it differs from any ants that we know about today.
The legs look really long.
It's the size
it looks like a cross between a spider and an ant, almost.
It's the size of a Buick.
Yeah. Like the old centipedes in the carnivorous period.
Right.
There was more oxygen, so bugs got bigger. Yeah.
The amber was cut into the shape of a pendant, but how big was that pendant?
The size of a Buick. That's right. All righty. Now, you know, Charlie Brown gets rocks for Halloween.
Yes.
Well, now if you go to Nordstrom, you could also get him a really fancy rock for Christmas. If you really want the Charlie Brown experience, the American home is replete with all manner of overpriced baubles and trinkets. But is your idyllic suburban ranch house truly complete with an $85 rock in a bespoke leather pouch? Nordstrom thinks not.
Good grief.
This is the quote. This is the description. Medium leather wrapped stone, as it's referred to on the Nordstrom store, is made by artist Peter Maxwell out of the smooth Los Angeles area stone. He picked it up out of the river. A city I had previously not associated with quarries. The 115-year-old retail chain seems, like you, not to know what exactly it is they're selling. Medium leather wrapped stone's product description begins with a series of questions, almost as though it's talking you out of buying one. A paperweight? A conversation piece? A work of art? It probes before you ultimately concluding that the function and purpose of the rock is pretty much up to you.
You know what it looks like to me? It looks like somebody went to a community leather work class and that's the project they've
made. Mommy, look what I made at camp.
No, some guy went to a class, made a bunch of them, and gave them out as Christmas gifts.
As I say, we made those in Weeblos.
Right. I'm disappointed the leather only comes in neutral. I'm looking for black or gray or, you know, sort of a reddish terracotta.
Well, it's kind
of. Hey, look, you can have any rock and any leather color you want as long as it's beige.
It's kind of like your pet rock from the 70s grew up now. It's more mature.
That was my initial thought as well. We have come full circle.
Put some googly eyes on it. There you go.
Those are $5 extra.
Hey, then it's art.
Oh, my. Thank you, Nordstrom, for whatever. You know, oddly enough, we should have taken the break during that break, but we're going to take a break now because it says so on the script. So
yeah.
We will be right back with, this is where it goes from serious, as if Nordstrom rocks were serious, to the goofy stuff. Join us. We'll be right back. Did you ever wonder why the early space shuttles had a white external fuel tank and then the later ones did not?
I have no idea. Seriously. Not a clue.
Mm-hmm. Because once they filled that tank, they didn't want rays and things interfering. That's the technical term.
People, what?
Rays and things.
Rays and things. Wow!
Thank you, Professor Mossy.
Them raisin
like raisin
things.
Bread, raisin muffins,
raisin things. Wow.
For it's raisin things, it's grapes and things.
Wait. Californium raisins.
Hey! Californium raisin things.
We've broken the show again.
Hi,
Hi, this is Erin Gray, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
Well, someone's been hitting the extra buttons around here lately.
No kidding.
And then I couldn't figure out which one to shut off, so I shut them all off.
Chuck, remember, buttons aren't toys.
Yes, they are, especially when you hit them all at once like this.
Good news, everyone!
Good news, everyone!
Uh-oh. I just said that for Fry's benefit.
Sometimes it's fun just to hit all the buttons at once.
Hey, it actually kind of worked.
That was like, did you have that keychain elevator?
Sorry, did you have that keychain in the 80s? The one that had like all the rocket sound effect and the fart sound effect?
No! Did I miss one?
You missed one?
I'm going to have to go look.
eBay.
All right. Speaking of weird sounds, this is an AI computer that came up with its own version of a Christmas song. Now, I will admit the lyrics are a little hard to hear at first. They're even harder to understand. But they kind of make sentences, not necessarily full English sentences. You'll enjoy this, I hope. The Christmas tree is filled with flowers. I swear it's Christmas Eve. I'll shut up now.
I hope that is what you say. The best Christmas present in the world is a blessing.
Now it has a problem with tense.
I've always been there for the rest of
the world. No, it's pretty tense, all right. Okay, what are we listening to?
It's almost done. Lots and lots and lots of flowers.
Wow, okay.
I have always loved you for the rest of our lives.
She didn't say anything about the cake.
For 100.5 hours ago. It sounds like that game I like to play with Google Translate, where you take a Christmas song and you run it through different languages in Translate, like Hebrew, then Indonesian, and then Chinese, and then German, and then you finally bring it home after about 7 or 8 translations into English and see what happened.
Then there's your new password. Check the password generator.
I was this close. Like 1 centimeter close to writing an app just to play around with the Google API to do that. And then I found out that you got to pay money for the Translate API. It's like $20 for 1 million characters or 1 million words or something. So, I mean, it would have been $20 of fun well spent, probably better than a casino. I wanted to hit a button, have it pick 7 or 8 language translations, and then get the output at the end. I may still write that. We'll see what Santa puts a Google coupon in my stocking.
Yeah. Maybe the listener fund can pay for that.
I don't think we won't have any patrons left in the Patreon campaign if we start doing that nonsense.
That's right.
But hey, if it's for entertainment purposes, why not?
Right. Deck the halls with what?
Don't ask. Deck the halls with OAuth tokens. La 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 la.
OAuth tokens.
All right, Craig, you're a photographer. You like photography as a hobby. Would you like this story?
Sure. Why not? All right. 48-year-old Mark Lee from Surrey, UK, is a self-confessed boring man. Wow. At least he knows who he is, right? Who enjoys nothing more than spend his days photographing lost gloves. It all started about 3 years ago when Mark found a lone glove on a stairwell in his workplace and thought it was strange.
It's sad.
Yeah. The very next day, he spotted another one in the street. They're like all over. And from then on and on and on and on. So he sort of had an eye for spotting them everywhere he went. Once you're aware of something, you see it everywhere. I agree with that. He says he soon started photographing his finds, and today is the proud owner of a collection of 300 photos of lost gloves in the largest of Britain.
He's still going for the world record, I guess.
Wow, lost glove. Okay.
Now, some of these married pictures father, are pretty impressive.
Let me look at them. I hadn't really looked at them yet. Oh, well, that's cool. Did he line them up? Did he do that, or did he just find
I think
pants?
That's some sort of landmark, you know, like the bridge in France where they in Paris where they put the locks on
locks,
the
locks, yeah.
Yeah. I'm thinking this is like the glove fence, but some of those rubber gloves are a little creepy looking.
Yeah, some of them look kind of they're like the rubber gloves like you would use to take something out of an industrial oven or
acid
something.
Acid vat.
Yeah. Or no, it looks like the ones that the judge had in Roger Rabbit. You know, he was dipping
with the dip.
Yeah, that's right.
That poor shoe.
Anyway, it's kind of a neat thing. I haven't looked at it in a long time, but it was a group on Flickr where they would photograph chairs out in the wild, like lone chairs, just a chair sitting anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen a few. And after seeing some of the pictures, you know, and I'm out photographing myself, I'm going, whoa, look, there's a chair just out in the woods, you know, and that's a good candidate. And I'll take a picture of that or, you know, I start noticing it just like this guy said.
Yeah. Once you're aware of something, you notice it all over the place. And if you're looking for a subject like that, then you're noticing all kinds of neat little quirky, unique, random objects.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, it's just like when you get a new car, you know, like I have a Toyota Tacoma.
Oh,
when
yeah.
When I started looking at it and I was interested in one, all of a sudden I saw them everywhere. You know, before it was Beatles, the new Beatles, when I had that. So, yeah, once I started owning a Tacoma, it's like, whoa, they're everywhere.
Let's see. What would you take a picture of,
Little Richard Baskets.
What would you take a picture of, Jack?
I would take a picture of the other glove. No, I don't. I
the right glove.
The lost sock collection. Yes. I was thinking something a little bit closer to home, like maybe a cactus.
Yeah, you know.
Look, there's a saguaro.
Yeah, in Phoenix, that would take up a lot of your time if you took a picture of every cactus you came across.
You don't have to go very far to find one.
Only take a picture of the right-handed cacti.
The right-handed cacti?
Yeah, that's right.
Now, this does remind me, you know, when I would go into New York City from time to time, there was a guy who would draw these very simple little characters all over the place, and it was a neat thing to kind of actually see them. Although that's not quite the same thing as this, like a lost chair or a lost glove, because there was a guy who was actually intentionally going drawing these little dudes all over Greenwich Village. But yeah, I'm at a loss to think of other discarded things that I'd be interested in seeing. And taking pictures of.
We have coasters in the studio. We have bottle caps on the cupboard. We could do that. Crazy Joe says, my friend Dave started this hashtag clean teeth, dirty streets. He photographed and tweets out flossers thrown on the ground outside.
Wow.
Cynthia says, do they have gloves in Arizona?
Phoenix, I was rumored that there's a pair made it across the border, but well.
Actually, it's more of oven mitts in the summer. You have to have oven mitts to hang onto your steering wheel.
Oven mitts. Right.
What else do we have? We didn't even play the Hacks and Strange Story music, but let's go on and give a shout out to our chat room. We have we had to recollect the crew.
Yeah, sorry.
We got Crazy Joe. We've got Ranger Craig is out there. Clinton has rejoined us. JT Shea. We haven't heard from JT in a long time. Welcome.
Well, I see him on Facebook all the time. It's like yesterday.
Cynthia Fry. Hey, we stole one of Jack's fans. I mean, borrowed her. Crazy Joe, we mentioned. Oh, let's see who else we have in here. That's all I'm seeing saying hello in the chat room. If you want to join us, we're here 9:30 Eastern time and usually hang out on Facebook. So if you follow the Technorama page, Technorama podcast, you can get an announcement when we start up. And if you really want to do us a huge favor, share this or the other half of this show.
Yeah.
One of these two videos to get more reach, and then we'll get more weird people in the room. Yes. Yeah.
Well, this week, the big ask is to share both videos at the same time. Just so nobody misses anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we're not going to go for a trilogy, right?
Just a trilogy. It would be a travesty if it happened again.
Yeah. Yeah, if the funding's there, maybe.
Oh, well, then we have to play it. We haven't played our Remember When in a long time.
Go for it.
All right. Where? There it is. The green button. Jack hasn't read a story yet.
Letters.
No. That's
wrong one.
Try to keep up. That was before the break.
Right.
Would you read about the flower light bulbs?
I would be happy to. Flower light bulbs, forgotten wonders of the mid-1900s. By Spooky, just so you know, that's the journalist. Most of us don't pay much attention to light bulbs. They play a very important role in our lives, but when it comes to aesthetics, most of them are nothing special. There was once a company that produced the most amazing flower light bulbs, and luckily, some of its creations are still around today. Aerolux Lighting Corporation was an artistic light bulb manufacturer that operated from the 1930s through the 1970s. The company made beautiful gas discharge light bulbs in various shapes, from cartoon characters and animals to religious symbols and popular emblems. But their most impressive and popular creations were the flower light bulbs. They not only had these intricate metallic flower sculptures for filaments, but they would also shine in various colors depending on the gases and coatings used. They were really popular back in the day, and looking at the photo below... Oh, well, you...
Or on the screen.
On the screen. It's easy to see why. Very impressive.
These are impressive. Pretty cool. Because, yeah. And there's a video of a guy who owns one of these. It sounds like he just bought it, but he must have bought it at a garage sale. I would love to find one of these. It only takes like 3 watts. He uses it for a nightlight. They don't... They're not meant to light up the room. They're meant more of as a luminescent decoration. And it sounds like one of those things that may not have been safe. Now, they were manufactured, what did I say, from the 30s to the 70s?
Right.
So in the 30s, we really didn't have a good grasp of radiation.
Here, kids, play with this mercury.
Right. Well, there's the stories of the women who used to work at the watch factory, the radium dial factory, and they'd paint the glow-in-the-dark letters on. And keep their paintbrush tips sharp, they'd lick them. And they were ingesting lots of radium. And many of them died from radiation sickness and cancer and lots of other bad things that happen when you ingest radioactive elements. So these have, I was reading on, there's low pressure, argon, neon, the what do they call them? The noble gases in there to get them to fluoresce. So when they're off, they're not very attractive. I mean, they look kind of silvery.
Actually, I disagree. I think it looks kind of neat sitting in that bulb.
Just this, like, black and white almost.
Yeah.
But when you turn them on, that's when the light show starts. See how they...
Yeah. I see what you did there.
The roses turn red or the violets turn violet. And it's
the leaves are green.
The leaves are green. Right.
In the pictures we're seeing, I assume that's the way it is. Yeah.
I mean, this is art. I mean, this is a work of art that this person did. And you're right. It's interesting that really it's completely going to disappear and be buried under the sands of time. But it was.
Yeah. How many of these are even still surviving out there?
Right.
I mean, I got to wonder if they're in some sort of museum. GE might have a museum with these in them. I'm hoping someplace, somebody knows where this is happening. The craziest thing that I got out of this whole thing is these were selling at one point for 20 cents a bulb. The labor involved in one of these things must have been extraordinary. Right. And I'm thinking this was probably on the early end in the 1930s when they were 20 cents.
But here you go. You can go on eBay. There's one for 10.
10 cents?
No, bucks. Actually, I'm kidding. There is a small, tiny one for $10. But there's some other ones. I'm not sure if that's. I guess it is. That's one right there.
Is it an artifact or is it something that was made recently by someone kind of carrying the torch for this?
Well, that's the risk of eBay, right? I don't know. This one says vintage in the title, so it must be. I don't know.
Clinton said he actually had one of those light bulbs.
Who?
Clinton. He said, I actually had one of those light bulbs. And Tim Elliott reminded me that in the 70s, the big thing was that flame that moved back and forth quickly. We had some of those. Those were cheesy.
And went with the wood paneling.
Clinton was around in the 30s when they came out.
Oh, so. Be careful. Be careful. You might end up paying for that one.
But here's one, seriously, for $75 on eBay.
Okay. So
my luck. My luck, UPS or FedEx would crush it, you know.
Right.
I think we can get licensing from Lucasfilm. We can start up a whole new business, you guys. Let's go in on
CG
this.
CG flower light bulbs?
Right. We'll have Darth Vader shaped ones.
Oh.
Here's one. Here's a naked lady silhouette, like on a mud flap, you know.
Oh, boy.
It's a light bulb.
That's a pretty light bulb.
Sorry. Craig, we're glad we're not screen sharing with you anymore.
I know. I was just thinking, no, they're not seeing this great stuff.
Music means one thing.
They need Yosemite Sam in there now, and then we'll be set.
Yosemite Sam, back off. That music means it's time to give a shout out to our patrons, and that includes Kyle Nishioka, Chris MC, Nick St. Gabriel, John Noble, Noble Gases, Mike Wills, Alexis Duran, Amy Bowen, Steve Therian, Ben Vaughn, Abner Braverman, Saturday Morning Media, Dennis Patnaud, and Leon. Thank all of you for supporting this show for as little as a dollar a show. You get special content, you get a shout out, you get a present at Christmas. It's a great time. If you haven't got your present, give me a call. Send me an email. You want to be a patron and get your name on the show? Get our undying gratitude. You can go to patreon.com/technoramapodcast, and everything is right there. It's just a click away from our undying love. Wow, that's twice. So it must be now double undying.
So you can buy love.
It's undead.
It's undead love. Zombie. Then I think we have to turn to the media corner. Yes?
Yes.
Because that's what it says next in the script. I mean, show notes. Who puts this stuff together? Video.
Hey, where can I find some information about music and TV and videos and things? Over here in the media corner.
And raising things.
That's right.
Well,
we have to update that, by the way.
This is a video that went viral. A man in Russia by the name of Dita Mira, I hope, has perfected the art of playing the Star Wars Imperial March on a plastic coffee stirrer.
Okay.
And he's pretty darn good at it, too. Listen to this.
That's fitting. We just heard it.
Hope I don't get a commercial first.
Here we go. Привет, друзья. А сейчас я для вас...
He's got to do his intro first.
Имперский марш из Звездных войн.
Let's give it up for Dita!
На палочке.
Thank you, Cleveland!
In his cube.
Well, you said Detroit.
Here he goes. Listen, listen.
Смотрите, как это делается.
Well, that's nothing like I imagined.
All with one finger, folks.
I entirely doubt that.
No, he is. No. He's just plucking with his index finger.
Being sarcastic, Chuck. Actually, that's pretty good.
That was impressive.
I liked his earlier stuff better.
That's why we bring Jack along.
Once he brought his wife in, the band just kind of fell apart.
Next, I'll be making postage stamps with this guy. You have to choose. Do you want the old fat Dietra or do you want the young hot? Any smart comments from the chat room? I think I like the floppy drives better. Oh, on a geek library? I gotta get my icon straight here. There. Should we do the Super Friends too?
Yeah. Remember,
still
we
a little early.
Yeah, you gotta do it at the end.
I try to wait. I need like a metronome or a conductor.
And now.
Okay.
Oh. Well, now we can see how much lag we got.
That's fine. Epcot is, speaking of the Imperial March, Disney is turning the Epcot geodesic dome into the Death Star to celebrate the release of Rogue One.
Yes.
To celebrate the upcoming release of Rogue One, Disney's Epcot Park in Florida turned the iconic metallic globe, aka Spaceship Earth, into the Death Star. The triangular surface of the building doesn't really work that well for being a Death Star, but whatever. I guess, where else are they going to find a ball that's big enough to project Death Star onto without asking yours truly. So
that is pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. I've been trying to figure out how they did this. And the best I can figure is a projection, because they didn't put a real dimple into the spaceship Earth. But Disney, being the visionary illusion people they are, probably could have put even a big sticker up there or something to give that light effect of where the dimple is.
It looked like it was moving. I mean, like the projection was moving.
So you think
like it was rotating
it up there?
Huh. Well, they got obviously have projectors for this thing.
Did you notice from New Hope when they were showing the plans of the Death Star that the dish part of the weapon was on the trench, like on the equator? It was rotating around, but it's not.
Right.
Otherwise, when they were doing the trenching, they would have flown through the computer.
Right. In the computer animation, you mean?
Yes, the cheesy, you know, dot matrix animation that they were using.
Dot matrix.
Right, who made that call? Like, oh, it's supposed to look. Didn't you see the plans? It's supposed to be on the trench. No, no, no. Let's move it up.
Yeah. We can't spend the CPU power to redo that graphic.
Wait, you mean we stole version one of the plans?
We need a change control system.
Yeah, we got to do it again.
We need dock control involved. Someone had wrong version checked out of the dock control system.
Hey, I thought it was funny. The guy that's doing the announcement, of course, it looks like the Empire is all on set, and behind him is the plans for the Death Star that they stole. You know, and I'm like, what? You wouldn't want to advertise that, I don't think. Here's how you can destroy it. It's right behind me. Oh crap! I left that slide in my presentation.
It looked bigger in the movies.
Well, many Bothans died in the construction of that.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is not accurate. I know. That's completely.
I know. In 2000, they had Mickey standing there with a big 2000 written on it.
Yeah. Oh, have they not projected stuff onto the dome before?
I don't know. Did you stick an extra story in here on me? You did.
I actually did, but
now we just have go and look at no it. Graphics to go with this.
Well, wait a minute. I'll just explain.
Are you challenging me to read the story called? Is that what it is?
Well, there's not much to it. What I'll just tell you about it. That's what I'm getting at.
Spaceship is done?
Well, you spoiled my story. Actually, I was just the other day, I was like, wonder what the status is on Apple's spaceship office.
The new campus.
Lo and behold, yeah, this showed up today. So if you can watch the video, and they have some drone footage of what's been fixed or, you know, completed and what they're working on and the status. And it's kind of neat to watch the drone do its thing. So, yeah, it's coming along. I don't know when they're supposed to have it done.
Do we know what the new address is?
It's Infinity Drive or something.
No. The old one was One Infinite Loop.
Yeah, this is.
They're not at the same physical address.
No, they're not.
Hmm. When's moving date?
That's what I was just looking at, and I don't remember
some
seeing
news
that.
Correspondent you are.
Hey, just watch the video. That's all I was talking about.
I don't think they're done. They're still like cherry pickers inside.
No, there's still a lot of landscaping, and there's a lot of stuff to do, but there's some pictures towards at the bottom of this article, if you scroll down, that show from the inside, and it's going to be pretty neat. You know, to walk around on the inside because it's all curved.
It
kind of
does have that Enterprise spaceship curvy look to it, doesn't it? When you're inside.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is not a cheap building, I'm telling you.
Is it just a work campus for them?
I think this is going to be to their new corporate headquarters.
It is.
Yeah. And this is in Cupertino, which isn't far from our headquarters. I think Craig and I need to take a road trip next time we're there.
I would do that.
No, we'll take a revisit to the Computer History Museum because that's all been changed around.
Yep.
Maybe for the
next
quarterly all hands meeting, we should sneak out to the headquarters.
Sneak out. Hey, what's this requisition for airline tickets? Oh, no. It's nothing. Sneaking around.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And appropriately, we have Victor Cahiao who joined us. towards the end of the show, who used to do
our
the
Mac Geek.
Our Mac Geek, our friends in tech family, Mac Geek. Our question for this week, we are rounding out this show, coming to the end, coming in the fourth turn with nobody in the lead. Our question for the week is, what are you most hopeful for in the new year? And please don't include anything about Trump.
They're hoping Technorama gets canceled.
But we're hoping everybody's still listening and we can keep entertaining you and that we get wonderful guests in the studio. Like Jack.
I do hope you get some good guests. Unlike this week.
we're still late. Hoping. We're still.
Thank you for joining us, Jack.
Thank you. It's been fun.
Been a lot of fun. Show number 500 is coming up. We want you to leave us a message. You can call us on the listener line, 707-530-2428. We'd love to hear from you. Or send us an email, technorama@chuckjack.com. If you leave a message on the Facebook page, it might take a while for me to see it. Well, now that I know where they're tucked away, why is the title kind of scooting? I must be doing that because there's not a pink cursor. I think my iPad was resting on the space bar on that one. Just weird stuff going on this end that you can't see on the video.
I know. Internet's breaking, all kinds of
buttons
stuff.
Buttons getting pushed magically. This show runs itself, but it's not always in the right direction.
Yeah.
Search for Technorama Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. You know where the place is. Or you can go to our website at chuckchat.com/technorama. I push the big black button at the end. I know where that one is. Decompress. We're going to figure out if we're going to edit the audio or not when we lost all internet connection in the middle of the show.
We'll just leave it. Leave it in there.
Let's not do it again. Remember, I was telling somebody at work this. I said, I know when Craig and I worked together too long on this show, we had a Skype outage and we were doing double ender. He was recording his on one side and I was recording it, and we put them together at the end. Mm-hmm. He puts them together and goes, wow, it almost sounds like we're still talking to each other and Skype didn't drop out.
That's right.
That spooky conversation that was happening across the internet.
Yeah, it was like I just had to tweak it out a little bit and it lined up.
All right. Till next time, tell a friend about Technorama or share this video or whatever it is on Facebook. And Craig, give me a binary high five.
101. 101. I keep trying to do it with my fist, but that looks like I'm angry.
I'm going to die surrounded by the biggest idiots in the galaxy.